From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Tens of thousands of teachers marched in Raleigh, North Carolina on Wednesday, flooding the state capitol wearing red t-shirts and demanding, in their words, respect. The strong showing of teachers is part of a growing wave of teacher revolts in states around the country, including West Virginia, Oklahoma, Arizona, and Colorado, where teachers have walked out of classrooms but stopped short of formally striking. How militant are these teachers' movements, and can they succeed in their demands for better pay and better funded and equipped schools? More importantly, will the Red for Ed movement be a new chapter in the history of the labor movement? My guest is Kevin Kumashiro, former dean of the School of Education at the University of San Francisco, a leading expert on educational policy, school reform, teacher preparation, and educational equity and social justice. He's also our education correspondent. Welcome back to the program, Kevin.
It's nice to be here, Sonali.
So first, let's start with specifically North Carolina before we look at the broader issues. It was Wednesday, something like 30,000 people marched on the state capitol. They were wearing red and they were demanding respect. I thought this idea of demanding respect was a really effective way to highlight what it is that they're going through, rather than, you know, focusing on the very narrow goals. They're saying we need dignity and respect. Is that a really important word, that word respect, to use?
I love the framing of this particular action. You know, like the march and the rally is being called March for Students and Rally for Respect. And I love that framing because it is really making it clear that what the teachers are doing in North Carolina, just like what we saw in the five other states, which, by the way, were red states. So red for Ed, it has like this double meaning, it seems like. But my point is that it goes beyond saying that this action is to protest teacher compensation. Obviously, teacher compensation is a really big part of what's happening. As we saw from the very beginning of this year in West Virginia, teachers are grossly underpaid. They're taking on second, third, and fourth jobs. But with what we also see with these actions is a call for better quality education for all. So when I look at North Carolina, for example, I see that they're demanding more funding for education, an increase in the number of school nurses, counselors, and social workers, and a statewide plan to reduce large class sizes and to improve crumbling school buildings. They're basically arguing that schools are falling apart. We have not invested in education, and the underpaying of teachers is really the tip of a much larger iceberg that the teachers are now insisting we address.
So this is critical, right? Because for teachers, the well-being of their students is so important. Most teachers aren't going into these jobs for the money. They're going into it because they love to teach. And when they see the crumbling infrastructure, they see their students struggling and suffering because they're not getting all of the things that they need to succeed. So even outside of the classroom, as you were saying, school nurses, for example, it's so important to see teachers take the lead. It reminds me of when nurses strike, they usually strike in the interest of their patients and not just their own sort of needs. They're looking at, they go into their jobs being interested in patient welfare, and that's really important. And I think it's a point that's often missed, especially by those politicians that demonize teachers and nurses and those kinds of workers.
I just saw a commentary article by the former Secretary of Education, Bill Bennett, who was saying that teacher strikes hurt students. And of course, I disagree. I actually agree with the teachers in North Carolina that this is a march for students. It reminds me of 5 years ago, 6 years ago, actually, when the Chicago teachers went on strike. They were saying that bad teaching conditions is bad learning conditions, that if you're actually not funding teachers to work where they're well compensated and in safe conditions to teach, then that means that the students are being harmed as well. And so, you know, when I think about the messaging and the larger arguments that the teachers are making in North Carolina as well as in the other recent states, it reminds me of Chicago 6 years ago, and which also reminds me, by the way, of British Columbia 6.5 years ago. So in these places, what we saw, which I thought was some of the most brilliant framing, that no question has laid the groundwork for other states. And I say that because I know that other states contacted people in places like Chicago to learn their strategies. What they did is they, whenever they went up in front of the media, in their communications, flyers, and, you know, everything, that every chance that they had to communicate with the public, they were trying to make the argument that the strike was about something much bigger. It was pushing back on and raising awareness of the many so-called reforms that are happening right now that are actually making schools worse. In other words, the strike was an opportunity to take advantage of this public platform that they now had to raise the public consciousness about how the rhetoric that we're hearing about education is so off base, and it doesn't match the reality that these initiatives or reforms are making things worse. And so when North Carolina is saying that they're demanding, for example, things like more school nurses, you might, you know, someone might say, I thought your contract is about compensation. Why are you arguing for school nurses? That so fits into their larger argument that we are, our lack of investment in public schools is damaging students. And what we need to do is build up schools that are really in the best interest of the whole child. And so we do want to see safe buildings. We do want to see mental health and physical health provisions. We do want to see up-to-date curriculum materials and labs. And we do want to see the highest quality teachers that you cannot recruit unless you have compensation packages that are worthy of this kind of very important professional. So the framing becomes incredibly important. There's a pattern that we've seen. And my last point is that, on this note, is that even when I speak about Chicago, in 2012, when the Chicago teachers went on strike, there were like half a dozen teacher actions going on around the world, in other countries, in other words, making very similar kinds of argument that we are striking for more than just teacher salaries. And I think in West Virginia, half a year ago, when the strikes were first happening, or the walkouts were happening, the emphasis was on teacher compensation because they were some of the lowest paid teachers and because so many of them had more than one job. But I love how it has evolved to really, the messaging has evolved across these states to really hammer home that the strikes are about improving education for all of our children, particularly those who struggle the most. Mm.
You were mentioning earlier about the reforms. Bloomberg had an interesting article titled, "The Kochs Helped Slash State Taxes. Now Teachers Are in the Streets." I thought this was a very important analysis to add to the conversation that the Koch brothers had been pushing, and their ilk had been pushing these state-by-state reforms that include completely slashing state budgets, which has directly resulted in this sort of thing. When public education budgets are slashed, you get angry teachers, teachers upset about what's been done to the system that they work in. So it's important, right, for us to point that out, that these sorts of austerity measures have a real impact and are, you know, now the chickens are coming home to roost.
Absolutely, in at least a couple of ways. I mean, I so appreciate your connecting the dots here that absolutely, what we've done over the past few decades is defund public education. We're fueling privatization, which basically means a lot more tax monies are profiting the private corporations that are coming in rather than benefiting the students that need it the most. And fortunately, it's the people who see this the most directly, the teachers, who are now mobilizing in ways we've never seen before to raise public awareness that we've done this to ourselves, by the way, and it's been a bipartisan agreement, right? The Democrats are no less responsible than the Republicans for defunding and privatizing public education. And I say that just because, you know, Arne Duncan, Barack Obama, they have laid the groundwork for what we're seeing right now with Trump and DeVos. So we don't want to blame only one party for where we are. But I would say, the reason I would say that there's two ways that we see this is that, yes, teachers are raising awareness that the underfunding of public education has been detrimental to and devastating to our nation's young people. But I see that there's a momentum that the strikes are building. And one momentum is that there are strikes in other states, right? It's spreading. But there's another way to think about the momentum of these strikes. And that is when we look at the states where the strikes and the walkouts have ended. When we look at some of these states, the ones you named already, West Virginia, Oklahoma, Kentucky, Arizona, and Colorado, what we see is that the teachers who were involved in these actions are becoming mobilized in electoral politics. So I was looking at an article today about how in Arizona, a lot of the teachers involved in the actions are mobilizing around a tax bill. There's a ballot initiative that taxes the wealthiest to benefit education. We see
these are educated people who vote. Teachers take absolutely civic responsibility seriously. And since they're educators, they're highly educated themselves.
Exactly. And education is about raising political awareness, right? Yeah. It's about raising awareness about how we strengthen our democracy through civic engagement. So we see teachers involving themselves in campaigns for pro-education candidates in West Virginia. But I think the most exciting thing that I saw is that you're seeing dozens of teachers and former teachers who have filed in the wake of, in other words, immediately following the teacher actions in Oklahoma and Kentucky in particular, is where we're seeing dozens of teachers and former teachers now filing to run for office. So whether it's running for office or becoming involved in campaigns or actually trying to change policy through ballot initiatives, I think this is also how we think about the momentum or the wake of these strikes and how it's calling on us to be much more engaged participants in the democratic process.
Kevin, just to step back, the hashtag Red for Ed, as this movement is being called, seems to be this wonderful symbolic way in which all of the teacher walkouts are being united, seen through a similar lens. So teachers are wearing red, they're saying Red for Ed. What's the significance behind that? Because, of course, red is the color of the Republican Party, or used to symbolize Republican Party. It's also a symbol of communism. what is the symbolism of that title?
Yeah, that's a great question, because in Chicago, when the teachers went on strike 6 years ago, Blue State, they were also all in red. Red has become this, and as you point out, it has so much symbolism across cultures, across time, and across different issues. But certainly in education, it has become a color that teachers really mobilize around historically, at least within the past few years. And I love that this irony that it also is the color of the Republican Party for electoral campaigns, precisely because we have six red states where we're seeing teachers mobilizing and pushing back against austerity measures that are pushed primarily by the Republicans. So I love the double kind of meaning of it. I love the complexity of it. And I love also that it is people saying we are in a moment where the policies that have become the common sense of our times have proven to fail. And this shouldn't be a surprise. We knew that some of these policies were going to fail from the beginning. But I love that it's becoming a national conversation. And I love that there's these symbols that we can latch onto that have historic meaning, but also have double meanings to them that I think add to the excitement and the flavor of what's going on.
Now, Kevin, these teachers have been careful to say that they're not on strike. Many of them have used personal vacation days at the same time. So effectively, they're walking out of the classroom, but they're sort of protecting themselves through the technical, letter of the contract that they're working from. So how far do you think these teachers will go or should go to demand their rights? Because sometimes you have to be really bold, aggressive, and militant to get your demands, as history has taught us. The labor movement has won major victories by going on strike. And these teachers have, at least most of these movements, have so far not gone there yet.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for clarifying, because a lot of these actions are called wildcat strikes or walkouts, precisely because they're not legally allowed to strike, because state laws prohibit collective kind of actions like that. So Yeah, but I think that it is important to kind of historicize to see that the labor movement grew out of basically collective actions, right? It grew out of collective demands for worker protections that therefore preceded state laws that allowed collective strikes, right? In other words, these kinds of walkouts were happening in other industries, in other professions, or in other work sites. Far before laws allowed actual strikes. So I'm a big fan, of course, of public action. And I think that it's if we can use public actions to raise public awareness, I think that's when these kinds of activities can have the most impact, right? In other words, I think that walkouts, school closures, and you're right, it's not just teachers taking personal leave, it's sometimes the boards are in support of the teachers and therefore they're closing the school so that the teachers are not breaking the law or having to use sick days or anything like that. So sometimes there's that kind of cooperation, right? Because there's more than just the teachers who see that this has to happen. But my point is that I think that the actions are so vital, not simply because they're stopping business as usual, but because they're an opportunity it's like a platform, right? You suddenly have a space where the public is paying attention and you have a chance to get a message out there. And I think that's when the actions are powerful. Actions are powerful when they can be leveraged for raising public consciousness. And I think that is why it's so exciting to see what's happening in North Carolina, because they are taking advantage of this platform to reframe the conversation, to say that the reforms are harmful. This isn't just about greedy teachers trying to line their pockets. That's not happening at all. It's a much bigger problem.
Well, Kevin, thank you very much for joining us today. We appreciate your insight on these issues.
Thanks so much for covering this, Sonali.
Kevin Kumashiro is former dean of the School of Education at the University of San Francisco. He's also the education correspondent for our program. We've been discussing the North Carolina Teachers March and the hashtag Red for Ed movement. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.